Hey, grab a Bible today if you want and turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And you can just set that aside, and in a little while we'll get there. Toward the end of the message, we'll read together in Psalm 139. While you're kind of turning there and getting ready for today's message, let me just kind of tell you where we're going in the next few weeks. Beginning next Sunday, and for two Sundays, I'm going to talk about the end of the world. I don't know if you guys know this or if you're kind of aware of this, or maybe it's kind of off your radar now, but it's probably going to get back on your radar really soon. But some of you may know that many are predicting the end of the world in 2012. And that being true, that means we only have 1 year left. And so I want to talk for a couple weeks about the end of the world. And if the end of the world is coming, then we need to live like there's no tomorrow. So we're going to talk about that for a couple weeks. And then beginning on Sunday, January 16th, I'm going to begin a series called Sexpectations. And we're going to talk about sex for about 5 weeks. You know, and for some of us, we talk about it more than we experience it. And, you know, it's, we're going to talk about, you know, what God says about sex. We're going to talk about God's sex and married sex and same sex and all kinds of sex for 5 weeks. So you got that to look forward to? All right, that's coming up in the next few weeks. We're going to talk about the end of the world in a, you know, for a couple weeks coming up. But today I want to talk about the end of a year. Christmas has ended. I hope you had a wonderful day. And the thing is, when we get past Christmas, it's kind of downhill all the way to New Year's. And it won't be long until the holidays are over. And I don't know about you, but I kind of hate to see the holidays end. But for me, the exciting part is really the run-up, the holiday run-up. I like the build-up. I like the decorations and the shopping and the music. And when you get to be my age, Christmas is kind of anticlimactic. It is, but I still enjoy the season, and I really don't want it to end. You know, I know that the kids are not ready for their Christmas break to end. They have another week or so out, and then their holiday is over, and it's back to school and back to the grind and back to the clicks and all that junk. And then there's some of us who can't wait for the holidays to end. We're glad Christmas is over, and we can't wait for the new year to begin and for things to return to normal. Some of you are ready for it all to end. You're tired. You're a little bit lighter in the wallet. And you're toast. Some of you may even be wounded. You know, one of the realities of life is that there are endings. And here's the good news and the bad news. If you're ready for them to end, or if you want them to go on forever, the holidays are coming to an end. The old adage is, all good things must come to an end. And there's a lot of truth to that. And life is filled with endings. Endings are a reality of life. Life is full of things that end. Jobs end. Students graduate. Friends move away. Finish lines get crossed. Relationships die. Projects conclude. Parties end. Kids leave home. Parents pass away. It happens all the time. Endings are a part of life. Endings are built into every aspect of life. Every day ends with a sunset. Flowers fade. Grass goes dormant. Every season comes and goes, and every year concludes. Endings are natural. They're to be expected. Now, some of us don't even like to think about it. Some of us just don't like endings, period. We don't even want to think about endings. Every year brings challenges in our lives. You know, Amy and I are no different in that. This year, our life with children at home ended. Paul and Monica were married on March 7th. And Paul moved in with Monica in her apartment in Tahunga, and it was the end of our kids living in our home. It was also the end of a lot of wear and tear on our couch because Paul isn't on it anymore. So you see, it's both a joyful and yet kind of sad ending. We're adjusting very nicely to our empty nest, thank you. Some other stuff ended this year. The television show Larry King Live ended. Hello, Omaha. It's no more. The tenure of Wade Phillips as coach of the Dallas Cowboys ended. Can I get an amen? Things end. Life is filled with endings. We are all dealing with endings. We are days away from the end of the year. I find this passage of Scripture extremely pertinent today. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, finishing is better than starting. Finishing is better than starting. The end is better than the beginning. You know, many of us are not down with this truth. We like beginnings much better than endings, because beginnings are exciting and ambitious and new, and endings are often drab and necessary and painful. The writer of Ecclesiastes says finishing is better than starting. I mean, what does that even mean? Well, Ecclesiastes 7 is an amazing passage, and I don't want to take the time today to cover it all, but I would encourage you to read it. Read it on your own today or this week. And let me quickly give you the Cliff Notes version. The reason that the end is better than the beginning is because when we face the end, we're in a good place to learn. It's at the end that we're most ready to learn. At the end is when we pause or when we stop. At the end is where we see, where we can see the entire project. At the end is where we can see what the results may be or will be. The end is the time of evaluation. It's the learning moment. It's the very height of the learning curve. This is where we're positioned best for feedback and for learning, right at the end. All right, so let's talk about your life. What's going on in your life? Are you dealing with some endings in your life? We've all faced some endings. Some of us have lost loved ones. Some of us have seen relationships end. Some of us have seen the end of good health. Some of us have seen the end of financial health. But maybe there's been some positive endings as well. Perhaps you saw the end of debt in 2010. Perhaps you saw the remission of cancer. Maybe it was the end of being single. We all face endings. We face endings large and small, good and bad. You cannot avoid these endings. You cannot avoid these learning moments in life. And the real question for us today, on the last Sunday of this year, is what will we do with our learning moments? What do you do when you get to the end? Well, the first thing you do is stop. When you get to the end, stop. Well, that's pretty obvious. When you get to the end, stop. Unfortunately, that trips some of us up. Because some of us are not good at this. We don't know how to stop. Even when we come to the end, we don't know how to stop. But if we're going to learn well, if we're going to learn during these learning moments, we must stop. Stopping is the key to learning. So how good are you at stopping? How good are you at turning things off at the end of the day? How do you do at the end of a project or at the end of a week? Are you able to stop and learn? Now, stopping is not a guarantee that there will be learning. Things are always ending in our lives, but we're not always learning. It requires a second step. You have to look back. If you want to learn when you come to the end, you've got to stop and then you've got to look back. And we can all benefit from looking back, from stepping back, from reflecting on life. And you don't even have to make any judgments at this point. You just stop and look back. You can learn just by looking back and seeing where you've come from and what has transpired. Now, here's the truth about many of us. we really need to look back at what we've eaten since November 25th of this year. Just look back at what you've done. Some of you looked back just a few hours on Christmas night when you popped that antacid in your mouth. See, just a little bit of reflection can go a long way. If you're throwing back Tums, you're like, wow, why did I eat that junk? See, just looking back can be life-changing. Do you know that it's one of the most commonly repeated commands in the Bible? Over 230 times in the Bible, the scripture says, remember. Look back. Remember what transpired. One of the most important things for each one of us to do is stop and look back. At the end of this year, stop and look back. And it seems very obvious, but we often fail to do it. So that brings us to this question. Why do we not look back? We don't want to look back because we have seen people who've been stuck because they look back all the time. We've seen people who get sidetracked because they're always looking back. In fact, they're not just looking back, they're trying to live back there. And we see people like that, and we're like, I don't want to look back because I might get stuck like them. We see that. We don't want it to happen to us. So we just keep going 90 miles an hour with our hair on fire. We're not always good at this looking back thing, at this stopping and looking back. So let's think about this for a moment. Let's talk about ways that we can get sidetracked, and then we'll talk about how we can be productive. All right, let's talk about some things that get us sidetracked. You can get sidetracked by hanging on. When you stop and look back, you can get sidetracked by hanging on. This is not a failure to remember. This is being stuck in our past. And when that happens, we're trapped by failure, and we're trapped by guilt, and we're trapped by abuse, and we're trapped by being victimized. We may be trapped by abandonment. Some of us have some horrendous things in our past that we believe that if we truly face them head on, that we'll fall into a deep pit that we can never escape. And I totally get that. And I want you to know that God does not want you to get stuck in those moments. God wants to heal those hurts. God wants to shine His light on your past. And He wants to bring His presence and His healing, even to our deepest hurts, our most harmful memories. You see, the end of 2010 is a great time to give those hurts to God and to end the grip that they have on your life, end the hindrance that they have on your growth in Christ. Some of us are holding on to hurts. Some of us are just holding on to the past. Maybe we're prisoners to old ways of thinking. Some of us are just stuck in the way that things used to be or the way that things used to be done. But hanging on is limiting. It's unhealthy. Okay, so holding on is not the best, but some of us swing to the other end of the spectrum. We get sidetracked because we're already gone. And I tend to be in this category. Just keep moving. Don't look back. Never review. Never evaluate. And sometimes there's some deep stuff going on. Like sometimes we don't like to admit our mistakes. And so we head blindly to the future and we're doomed to repeat our mistakes. We do the same things over and over again, expecting different results. I mean, which track would you tend to be on? Are you hanging on or are you already gone? Now, check this out. I believe that we all want to grow. I believe that the reason that you're here the day after Christmas, the last Sunday of the year, is because you long to grow. You want to grow in Christ. You want to be all that God intended. That being said, we must use the learning moments of endings to grow. We must stop, we must look back, and then we must examine. We must examine. Now listen, this final step is simple. All right, this is not difficult. It's not difficult. However, it will require a step of faith. The type of examination required to learn from the endings that each one of us will experience will require a step of faith. It will require faith in God. Because what we're talking about is we're talking about serious reflection. We're talking about taking a serious look at your life. We're talking about reviewing your life. We're talking about a serious spiritual inventory. Now, here's what we typically do this time of year. This is resolution time. We make resolutions this time of year. All right, so as we step into this last phase of learning from endings, our inclination will be to just make a list. Our temptation will be to make a list of things that we want to change. And once we have our list of things to change, we will set out to make resolutions, and we will resolve to make these changes in the new year. And we will list things like lose weight, work out more, eat more leafy greens, eat less red meat, no more food trucks, no more cussing, no more than 1 6-pack a day. Some of you will literally put this on your list, no more fighting with the old lady. It'll be your resolution this year, no more fighting with the old lady. No more driving 52 and a 35. We'll just make a list. Watch less football. How'd that get in there? That's not going to happen. Play less video games. Unless you got an Xbox Kinect. You're already addicted. And we'll put stuff like, I'll be more productive. I will love more. I will serve more. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's typically how we do it, right? At the end of this year, I want us to dig a little deeper in our evaluation. I want us to be a little more thorough in our examination. I want us to really reflect on what we can learn during this season of ending. And what I want us to do in this evaluation is I want us to listen to God with our hearts. I want us to hear from the Spirit of God in our hearts. And this flows out of the Scriptures. And I want us to use them. I want you to begin to think about what it will mean to hear from God in your heart at the end of your day. I want you to begin to think about what it will mean to hear from God at the end of this week, which happens to be the end of this year. All right, check this out in Psalm 139. He writes, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. For some of you, that one sentence right there in that passage will be enough for your evaluation this year. God sees everything you do. Wow. Verse 4, you know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me, and you place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. And I can never escape from your Spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Now, I want you to write something down that's not in your notes, and I did this on purpose so that you'd really have to make note of these things, not just fill in a blank. The first step in being successful in this review, in this examine, is to recognize God's presence. I mean, if you really want to be successful in your review at this ending of 2010, you need to recognize God's presence in your life. We must recognize how God has been present in every moment and in every aspect of our lives. God has been present in all of the places, in all of the circumstances. God has been there in all things, good and bad. He's been there in everything that's taken place in your life in this year. And you need to make note of where God was when you felt God close and you felt that God was far. He was always present, even if you didn't feel it. You know, we spent the better part of the fall in the 60-60 experiment learning to be aware of God's presence throughout the day. And I hope and pray that on some level you're continuing in that endeavor. And what you will find is that this is a great way to end the day. At the end of the day, when you've tried to stay aware of God's presence, just spend a few moments recognizing God's presence throughout your day. God, where did I sense your presence? Where were you? Look down further in Psalm 139 at verse 23. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life." You recognize God's presence, and then the next step is to realize that this is an open-hearted moment with God. This is an open-hearted moment with God. This is a moment when you are so open with God that you're asking Him to show you what you didn't even recognize yourself. You're asking Him to show you what you cannot recognize yourself. God, point out anything in me that offends you that I don't even know about. See, this is where we ask God to turn on the light to who we really are. This is asking God to help us see past our own self-centeredness, our own vanity, our own denial. Now, this is scary for some of us. And we think it's scary because we think that God's going to come down on us. We think that if everything is brought to light, that God's going to bring the smack down on us. Folks, we serve a God of love and grace and mercy. And check this out. God already knows. But He wants us to know. The writer here, he's presenting this as a positive. God, this would be a good thing for me. If you would show me everything that offends you, God, that would be a good thing for me. That would allow me at this ending to really grow. Ask God to show you who you really are. And you know, to know who God wants us to become, we have to first be willing to know who we really are. Here's one more thing. God said it to the children of Israel this way in Deuteronomy 30. He said, "Today, I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. And now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. And you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying Him, and committing yourself firmly to Him. And this is the key to your life. This is the key to life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And that brings us to the last thing. We must recognize that every day there are things that are life-giving. Every day in God's presence, there are things that are life-giving. Yes, every day there will be things that pull life out of you. I promise you, you will run into something today, this week, and it will literally just pull the life out of you. There are things that happened this year that just pulled the life out of you. But I want you to know that there are things that happened this year, and there are things that will happen today, and they are absolutely life-giving. There are things that pulled life out of you, and there are things that energized you. So here are the key questions. What is giving me life? What is draining my life? What gave you life this year? What drained the life out of you this year? What was worth celebrating in your life? What caused you to grieve in your life? What energized you? What deflated you? What is giving life and what is taking life? Life is filled with endings. And every ending is a time to learn. 2010 is coming to an end. So stop and look back and then examine. Would you pray with me? Father God, we're amazed at your goodness. God, amazed just by the truth that no matter where we go, where we are, that you are there. You have never abandoned us. You've never left us. You've seen it all. You know it all. And God, we take comfort in that truth. It's convicting, but it's also comforting. And God, as we come to the end of this year, we want more than anything to be more like Christ. And so we're stopping today. We're stopping to look back at where we've come from and what you've brought us through. God, to examine our lives. And we ask for your help, God. God, search our hearts. Reveal in us everything that offends you. Make a change in us, God. Make a change in us that will bring honor and glory to your name. Make a change in us, God, that will make a difference in your kingdom. And God, we will thank you for what you will do in us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.